Bismillah, alhamdulillah, peace be with you. Thank you for tuning in to the Deen Show. I'm Eddie, your host. And this week, you know that we know that there are more women coming to this way of life, this way of life that provides peace, happiness, contentment, satisfaction. And when you die, you have your place in Jannah, paradise, because you're living according to the way that your Creator wants you to live. And there's always a void in the heart when people, they have money, they have an entourage of friends, and they're in the nightclubs, and you know, they're models and they're celebrities, but there's always that void. You're never content, you're never satisfied until you find the truth, until you find the purpose of life. And Aliza Kim, who's our next guest, she was a model, she was in that high society lifestyle, but she wasn't happy. And she didn't just satisfy for a little, she wanted more. She wanted a lot more. She wanted that peace that money can't buy. She's founded in Islam. And more women, like I said, are coming to Islam. So we're going to hear from a woman why she's decided to accept Islam. Why is she observing hijab? And her story is something so motivating. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back with Aliza Kim here on The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show. This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show. This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
This is The Deen Show.
Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm very well, brother. How are you?
Good, thank God. Alhamdulillah. I'd like to thank you personally, and I'm sure our audience is very excited to have you here on the Deen Show as well.
No worries. My pleasure and my honor as well.
Tell us, has the Deen Show reached your town?
Definitely. I mean, there are many fans of the Deen Show here. Some of my close friends are very excited that I'm going to be speaking, well, that I am speaking to you right now. So,
MashaAllah. Tell us a little bit about your life before Islam.
Well, life before Islam, I was a Christian, raised in a religious Christian family. Was, you know, good, so-called good Christian girl. I went to church, I prayed, all this kind of thing. But it was still very much the, Christians still can do many things that Muslims cannot do, of course. You know, I could still get away with a lot of things, or forgetting to pray kind of thing. But my occupation also before this was not exactly Islamically inclined. I was a model and also an actress in Thailand. I was modeling in America for a while as well. Coming from that kind of background into Islam is also kind of a journey, especially with the whole putting on the hijab and everything. But before Islam, I wouldn't say that I was, you know, a party goer and, you know, doing all these kinds of so-called socially unacceptable things, you know. But I was always kind of a person who was reserved and who liked religion, but didn't really know what religion I should, you know, which way I should go, because I believed in God. Definitely believed in God, but I was searching for something that had more purity, because being someone who likes religion and always grounded myself in religion, I came to a point where I wanted to know what is the truth, which one is the true church, the one true church that I can count on and I can feel purity from, because there's 200 or more than 200 denominations in the Christian church now. So it kind of started from there, you know, what is the true church? What is the true calling? What is the pure way that I should be worshiping God? And so on and so forth. So, yeah. So that's how I actually came to start thinking about Islam, I guess.
Tell us, real important question. At what point in your life did you really start contemplating about the purpose of life?
Well, I guess for many, it's along the same lines as many people. You know, you face a life struggle or a crisis in life, and that's exactly what happened to me. Everyone has a different struggle in life, and for me, it was 2 years ago when I had many things coming in at me at the same time, and I felt like my life was just spinning out of hand, and, you know, I had just, you know, jumped out of one problem into another problem and wanting a new kind of lifestyle and testing new lifestyles and finding that it was just not right for me and feeling very out of control. So at that point, I really felt like I wasn't myself and I wanted to be myself and I didn't know who I was. So it was at that point really that I started to search again. But again, I was a Christian before. So at that time, I wanted to ground myself in religion as a Christian. So, but again, like I said before, I didn't find what I wanted. I didn't find something that I found to be the most pure. So it was at that time when I needed that grounding. I wanted the grounding that I didn't find it, that I started to search for something else.
Tell us also your experience as far as going back into the roots of Christianity. You really went to dig deep. You really, really were sincerely, earnestly wanting to know if this was the truth or not.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah. Well, you know, I would say that I'm a very academic person. You know, when I was in school, that I just thought if I could be a professional student, that would be great. So I kind of took this on, you know, looking for what I'm supposed to be doing, you know, what religion am I supposed to be, how am I supposed to be practicing my religion? I took it on as an academic exercise. So I went to the bookstore and I bought a whole stack of books, you know, wanting to really know the truth, wanting to read. But I took it from a non-religious point of view first. So I got historical books, books on the Bible, books on Christian history, but from a very historian point of view. So I read the history, and I mean, some of the stories I knew already. Some of the stories made me feel uncomfortable because, of course, there were the Crusades, and there was so much bloodshed that I just felt so uncomfortable. Why, if this religion is supposed to be correct, why do you have to kill so many people? Why do you have to force so many people into it? So I didn't quite like that too much. So I left the Christian history aside for a while because it made me feel very uncomfortable. Then I went into a study of the different languages, thinking that maybe if I could read the different scrolls or the different ancient manuscripts, then I could be on the right path. Then, at that point, I was, you know, me being me and me being very, I'm the perfectionist type. I need to know everything. I thought maybe I have to go learn Arabic. I have to go learn Aramaic. I have to go learn all the ancient languages so I can read the manuscripts and compare them for myself without being lost in translation. But subhanAllah, at that time, I was also given a booklet that came just in time because it did all of that for me. So I got to read, you know, the comparisons of many words that could have been lost in translation. For example, the phrase "Son of God" having to do with Prophet Isa or Jesus. That the word "son" in Arabic or Aramaic, which is these two languages are very close together. That word "son" can actually be translated either as "son" or "slave." Yeah, so it could either be son of God or slave of God. So when I got more clarity in the linguistics, that helped me a bit on my search as well. So then I moved away from the history, I moved away from the linguistics, and then I was looking more at the theories. You know, I got to a point where I thought, wow, there are some theories in Christian theology that doesn't really gel with me, that I don't really understand as deeply as I would have liked. And maybe I didn't really believe in them like I should, or maybe I shouldn't. So I was thinking about that as well. For example, Trinity. Trinity never really gelled in me. Even though I came from a religious Christian family, it was just a concept that, I mean, to me now I feel like it's because Allah was really protecting me that all these things didn't actually implant into my brain. Yeah, I always believed in God, but I always felt that the Son of God, or Jesus, was apart from Him. You know, they were connected in some way, but God is God, Son is Son. You know, like Father is Father, Son is Son. It's separate. So that didn't really gel for me. I never really got that. And then there are other aspects of even the crucifixion that I couldn't quite accept. I couldn't accept, for example, if there is some rapist out there who believes in Jesus, does he really go to heaven with the rest of the Christians who are striving so hard to keep themselves good? I mean, is there no justice system in that? Or you just have to believe in Jesus and that's it? I couldn't quite accept that as well. So that led me to more research. So I was doing very much an academic research from topic to topic. You know, so I went quite deep because I really needed to know for myself. I'm one of those people who won't jump into something without knowing as much as I can, making not only educated but very much moral choice as well. You know, I never want to choose anything without fully understanding and knowing and feeling it in my heart as well.
Word can't have defects in it, can it?
If it is literally God's word,
yes,
it cannot have defects. I mean, but this was written by men. We know that this is a collection, right? Even if you have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the gospel according to, right? The thing about the Quran and the biggest, and you know, I'll leave you with this, is the biggest thing for me is, if the Quran is exactly what it says it is. And this doesn't matter whether you're Muslim or not. If the Quran is what it says it is, the Quran is literally the word of God, delivered via Gabriel to Muhammad, who was an unlettered man who couldn't read or write, right? And he was just told to recite, right? That was the first thing, right? First thing he was told, absolutely, recite, yes. Right? So if it is literally the word of God, then that's pretty important to me. And before I became Muslim, I said, if this is the word of God, then I'm going to follow it because I'd be stupid not to.
I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah is by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Tell us, along your way, did you look at any other religions?
Well, along the way, I've been exposed to many religions. You know, my family in Thailand, a lot of them are Buddhist. That's what most Thais are. So I've been exposed all my life to Buddhism, actually. I know a few Hindus as well. Of course, there were many Jewish folks that grew up with me in Boston. So I knew some of these other religions, and I knew the Jewish religion and the Christian religion and the Islamic religions. They were connected in some way. But it wasn't until two years ago, or maybe 1.5 years ago, when I started reading that I actually knew that they had the same background. I didn't actually know that Islam came from the same Abrahamic roots as Christianity and Judaism. So it was kind of an eye-opener. But I did look at a few other things, but I never really got deep into them because I believe in God. I sincerely and very much deeply believed in God. So I wouldn't ever look into anything more than Judaism, Christianity, and Islam.
Lisa, I know this is a sensitive topic for a lot of people, and we never want to disparage on anybody. Never want to intentionally put any other religion down. That's not our agenda or goal. But many people attribute violence to Islam. And you had mentioned in your search that you found a history of violence in Christianity. So some people might say, hey, you got it mixed up. It's actually Islam is the violent religion, and Christianity is all about love. So what would you, can you expound on this a little bit more?
Yeah, sure. Well, I can only help understand it from my point of view, but taking it away from historical, because I think not many people can relate to that already. The whole bloodshed in terms of Christianity has you know, it has passed. It's centuries ago. But I think a lot of people see Islam as violent now is because of the recent past. So, you know, 9/11 and everything that came after that. So that's why people are thinking, wow, Islam is so violent, all these things. But you have to remember, in every religion, not just Islam, but also Christianity and all other religions, there are, you know, practitioners of every end of the spectrum and everything in between. So there are going to be good Muslims and bad Muslims. That's just the truth. There are good Christians and bad Christians. There are good people and bad people in every religion. So, you know, basing a whole religion on what a group of people do, on a small group even, a group of people do, is, I mean, that I don't see that as fair. You know, I was very blessed to grow up in a family with a father who always taught me not to hate and always to look at other angles and, you know, have a open mind, a bigger vision than what I see on television or what I hear from other people. And that's what I kept in my mind. So I thought, you know, this is just bad people. I mean, I can't just base a whole group and a whole religion just on this small group of people. And as, you know, I did more research, Islam is such a peaceful religion. Islam preaches nothing more than peace, because Islam means peace. You know, it comes from the root of, or one of the roots is salam. It means peace. You know, when we say assalamu alaikum, and in these movies, there, when someone says assalamu alaikum, it's the bad guy. But actually, they're saying peace be unto you. So it's kind of an oxymoron to me when I see that. Now, getting back to the whole violence bit again, if you just go to YouTube and you Google a few key people, you'll see that Islam, even to captives of the Taliban, I mean, there is a lady journalist, I don't remember her name at the moment, but she was a captive of the Taliban, and this was supposedly the most cruel regime in the world at that time. But clearly, she was, you know, her story is that, you know, they treated her so well. They treated her so well, and one of the things that, you know, she promised them if she got out, and she did without being touched at all, even given new clothes and all these things, is that she will read the Quran, and she did. And she remembers, you know, the people who had held her captive and how respectful they are, and she read the Quran, and she is now a Muslim. Now, if the most hated and scary regime in the world is violent and oppressive and torturing people, why would someone, you know, who was a captive say all of these things? And then you look at all of the, you know, American military and UK military who were in Afghanistan and all these places in the Middle East who are reverting or converting to Islam. Why would they do that if they didn't see something that all of us or everyone else who just only sees media didn't see? You know, so there are these evidences that, you know, if you just open your mind and open your heart a little bit more just to see, wow, is it true? Are all these stories really true, that it's really violent, and, you know, all this media that's feeding into me, is it really that violent? Challenge yourself to go and really search and get the truth. You know, because not everything that is being fed to you, you know, on the media is the truth. So these people did take up the challenges. Soldiers were put into a specific situation where they had to mix with the Muslims there. And, you know, of course, no, there are other people that I even know of that were challenged by their Christian friends to go and find out why Christianity is better than Islam. And then they find out that Islam is better and have become Muslims. So, you know, all these things to me is just, you know, it's just part of media. And if someone is open enough to go and see for themselves, they will see that Islam is just so peaceful. There's just so many stories out there that you just can't deny it.
MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. So now you've accepted Islam, submission to the Creator, not the creation. You're a Muslim. You're one who's doing the will of the Creator. And obviously there's some guidelines. There's a lot more structure in Islam. You got to pray 5 times a day minimum. You can pray more, obviously. There's you're constantly developing yourself with all these things that the Creator wants us to do that are a blessing for us. And you can't just do your own thing. You got that modest way of dressed. You have the character development constantly. It's from A to Z, from when you go to sleep to when you wake up. Everything is laid out in Islam. Some people look at this as, you know, a burden. How was it to you? We know it's a blessing, it's not a burden, but how was it for you in the beginning? All of the structure and the guidelines. Talk to us about this.
For me, like you mentioned, I like structure. I like guidance. I never thought that, you know, being able to do everything that I wanted to do was correct, because what if I'm doing the wrong thing? So I actually like these guidelines. And for me, for example, the five prayers at first, I mean, it's a challenge for anyone starting to practice Islam for the first time. I mean, the Arabic is a challenge. The remembering to pray is a challenge. The having the concentration is a challenge. It's, you know, but for me, I liked it because I was praying a lot already as a Christian. It's just that it wasn't structured. And so having the prayer being mandatory and having this relationship with Allah being alive all the time and constant in my life gives me extreme comfort. I love going into my salah times, you know, because that's my time to talk to Allah, tell him what's going on, you know, ask him for help, or maybe, you know, give him praise for whatever good thing that just happened. I mean, I really enjoy my salah times, even though at first, of course, you know, Arabic was really hard for me, trying to recite things in Arabic. But, you know, over time and with some guidance from good brothers and sisters and also the teachers, you know, it comes a little bit faster once you really set your mind to it. And as far as, you know, other changes, for example, dressing, actually, I like being more covered. Now I feel more like myself. You know, coming from a Thai background, my ethnicity, my mother never really let me out of the house without long sleeves and long pants anyways. So it's not as though I was totally out anyway. But now it's just, it just feels more comfortable. I don't have to be self-conscious about my body figure. You know, I don't have to worry about, you know, what is my hair going to look like? You know, what is that person going to think of me not being in style? Whatever it is that, you know, the world puts on you. But now it's more, okay, I'm going to leave the house. I look decent. I think I look fine. But does Allah, do I think that Allah, you know, likes what I'm wearing? And so it's a very different kind of thought, and all this kind of ties into, you know, knowing that you have a purpose in life. You know, you're here to please Allah, so that when you go off to the hereafter, you've got it made there. I mean, you have everything there. This is just a test, and if you do well here, you're going to do well on the last day. That's all that you have to think about now. As before, it was just like every which way, I don't know what direction I'm in. Now I have direction. Now I have some guidelines of what I'm supposed to do. And, you know, and it makes sense to me that when I feel guilty or if I feel something amiss, that's my reminder from Allah that, hey, watch it. There's something a little bit wrong. You got to change a little bit. I mean, I like that, having that, you know, little reminder. So I feel very good when I'm able to follow and I'm able to, you know, feel like I'm pleasing Allah. It's a very sweet feeling. It's a really sweet feeling. So for me, all the structure has been comforting. You know, I don't think there's a better word than that. Very comforting. I don't have to guess. And I don't have to wonder, am I doing the right thing? Am I going the right way? Because if I'm following the guidelines, which is actually, they're actually not that difficult, then I feel comforted that I'm doing the right thing and going the right way.
Take that simple step that you ask your maker to guide you, that he'll guide you.
Yes, I advise this a lot so for people who are searching. Put your head on the floor. In the state of prostration, like all the prophets did, and ask the creator of the universe to show you the way, to guide you to the straight path. And someone who sincerely asks for guidance, subhanAllah, they'll find it in Islam.
That's it. Okay, we only got a few minutes left, so in the last question, tell us, what would you say? We as men, we're always saying, look, talk to the Muslim woman. Talk to the Muslim woman, because people have this false persona that Islam oppresses the woman. Blah, 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 blah. All this just garbage. So now we have a Muslim woman, one who's fighting to wear hijab. She gets up every day, you know, with all of the baloney, phony, false, phony media. She's still wearing the hijab. So now that you have their ear, you know, for the people who are like, okay, Islam oppresses women, take off the hijab, sister, come on, you can do it, but you actually want to do it, you know, what would you say to them?
Well, I think they have to put themselves in the shoes of the person who's wearing the hijab first, not looking from the outside. Because for a person who's wearing the hijab, they've chosen to do that. They haven't been forced to do anything. Wearing the hijab actually is taking you out of oppression. To me, because I was a model, you know, I based my self-worth on what people thought of me and how I looked and how my body looked. You know, that's where I got my self-worth. If, you know, if I posted a picture in Facebook and I got however many likes, that makes me feel good and that validates how good I am. Now that actually, now being dressed in full hijab and wearing my headscarf takes me completely out of that, because people no longer objectify me. They no longer see me just because of my figure or my beauty. They don't, you know, judge my style. All they see now is my personality and my brains. What more liberation can you have than that? You know, when you say that Muslim women are oppressed, you have to think of it in a different way. You have to look at it from the Muslim woman's point of view, not from the outsider's point of view. Yes, it might seem like, wow, they're really, you know, covering their women and you know, keeping them at home. How horrible is that? But these women are not being forced. This is something they willingly do. It's wearing the hijab for a Muslim woman is an act of worship, and it's an act of protection. It's a protection from her being objectified and made as a sexual object. And like I said, now that I'm dressed this way, I feel a load that has been taken off of my shoulders. I don't have to worry about being sexy. I don't have to worry about wearing the latest style. I don't have to worry about how many people are looking at me when I'm walking down the street. Now what I worry about is if I'm representing myself well, if my character is being shown, how am I conveying my thoughts? I want people to see me now, and people do see me now. Give me more respect. Give me more dignity. I have more dignity now because people see my character and see my education and see my intellect, listen to me and not just look at me. So for the people who are saying that the hijab is oppressive, no, it's not. It's the most liberating thing that a woman can do. Covering up this beauty is not something that is oppressing. It's actually liberating. That's all I can say. It's the best thing that I've done in a long time. Aside from the shahada, of course.
MashaAllah, alhamdulillah. That's why we say, go to the Muslim woman. Talk to the Muslim woman. Because I don't think any man could have said it better than that. So you've heard it from the Muslim woman. And we thank you so much for all those people who are searching, who are deep down inside their trying to fill that void with drugs, money, rock and roll, sex, all the other things. And they hate to hear your story. You went through all of that, aspiring actress, model, and you came to the truth. You really, you know, took a scientific, academic approach, and you concluded that Islam delivers the truth. It's from the creator, not the creation. It's not organized by man or men. It's organized by the creator of mankind, who sent Islam as a mercy to mankind, submission to the will of the creator, not the creation. Thank you so much. Hopefully people will get to benefit from your story. People who are searching for the purpose of life, they want to live the purpose of life, they found it here at the Deen Show. Thank you so much, sister.
Thank you, Jazakallah Khair. Thank you for having me on the show.
May the creator of the heavens and earth make you steadfast and make your story a story that benefits so many people all over the globe. Thank you so much. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be with you.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
So that was Alisa Kim, aspiring actress, model, found peace and purpose in Islam. And you could find the same thing that she found. You just got to clear your mind of all the junk that you've been told, media, all these false stereotypes, and just ask the Creator to guide you. Because, I mean, look, who's going to give you the guidance other than the one who created you? So if you ask, you shall receive. But if you just keep worrying about you know, what you're going to wear for to the nightclub. You know, you want to be like Tom Cruise. You want to be like 50 Cent. You want to be like, you know, all these other people who are just really, they're taking you away from the purpose of life. You know, they're taking you down the wrong way towards misery. Misery loves company, so you're in the company of those who are miserable. From the outside, everybody looks good for the picture. It's all smiles, or for the 3-4 minute music video. But inside, you don't get to see all of the pain that people are feeling. So you tune into the Dean Show, and you want to go from pain to pleasure to feeling good, really having contentment, solace. And that's what our sister found. And over 1.8 billion people all over the globe, that's what we find in Islam. Islam provides the proof and the evidence that you can know for sure that it's the truth. It's not blind faith. No. Islam, you can touch it, you can feel it. We have the Quran, verbatim word of God. You can look into it. Scientific miracles, how you were born, the description of the embryo, everything. Science is there. These are signs for the person who wants to know. So as the last and final messenger sent to mankind, upon Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said that for the one who calls someone to good will have the reward equivalent to the one who does the good. Sahih Muslim. This is an authentic hadith. So, you know, if you like this story, now you can share this story. You can go to our Facebook. You can go there, like our page. Make sure you like our page so more people can have access to this information. Help us. And if one person benefits from it and you helped, you'll get the reward. Did you just not hear the hadith? You can go and also join our Twitter page. The links are here. And pass along the Dean Show. Pass it to your friends, your family, to your co-workers. We've gotten these people from all over the globe. Some of the scholars, people who have helped you attain so much knowledge by watching, and people who have accepted Islam from all over the globe. So we've done the work. Now you can help share. You know, that's the least we can do, because caring is sharing. So go ahead and share the Dean Show. Like us on the Facebook and follow us on the Twitter, thedeanshow.com. And you can tune in here every week for a new show. God willing, we'll be here to help you develop a better understanding about the purpose of life. We'll see you next time. Until then, peace be with you.